in these streets, cousin. Every man for himself in his land, we be gunning. And keep them shook crews running like they supposed to. They come around, but they never come close to.
That's Shook Ones Part 2, probably one of the most famous tracks by the legendary 90s hip-hop duo Mobb Deep. The song was on their second album, The Infamous, which propelled Mobb Deep from being a relatively unknown hip-hop duo to a commercial success. Your simple words just don't move me. You're minor, we major. You're all up in the game and don't deserve to be a player. But what influenced their music? Part of it was the personal struggle of Prodigy, one of Mobb Deep's founding members.
My life before hip-hop was just pain. Like, Sickle Cell was my life before hip-hop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I ain't really have no life. That was it. You know, I'm growing up, and just that's all I knew was just being in a hospital all the time.
That was Prodigy talking in 2013 about his struggles with sickle cell anemia. Last year, Prodigy died, but a new podcast called The Realness from WNYC explores the complexities of sickle cell anemia through Prodigy's story. Christopher Johnson is co-host of The Realness and a reporter and producer with the health unit here at WNYC. I spoke to him about the life and death of Prodigy and why we're finally starting to learn about a disease that for decades was largely misunderstood.
His mother found him in a closet when he was about 12 years old with a steak knife and I think a noose he also had in the closet, hiding, thinking about or planning to kill himself. This disease was so painful. It was killing him so much inside that he's just like, I would rather die. And then, thank goodness, of course, for him and his family and also for us as hip-hop fans, he found rap music shortly after that. It, in many ways, saved his life.
And then music, when I first started hearing like Run DMC, you know, the aggressiveness of it, it just attracted me to hip-hop. Because I was angry inside. I was an angry kid because of the sickle cell. And So I liked the anger in hip hop. That's what made me want to do it. It helped me get my aggression out.
Why did you think it was important to focus on this particular health issue through Prodigy's story?
For us, it made sense to kind of say, let's tell a kind of biopic story about this guy and merge it with our telling of sickle cell and use Prodigy, although he was a celebrity and he was successful and he had access to resources that many of us don't have. He still ran up against a lot of the barriers in disparities in care and discrimination that people who aren't celebrities, who aren't wealthy, run up against when they have sickle cell. So he was a good example of a person who experienced sickle cell, but also was a really compelling figure because of his life independent of sickle cell or outside of his life with sickle cell.
And talking about sickle cell, because I feel like some people think of it, they've heard of the disease, but it's not something that's front of mind for a lot of folks. What can you tell us broadly about who this disease impacts most and what it feels like? What are the outcomes of someone with sickle cell?
Yeah. In the United States, it is known as, quote unquote, a black disease. It primarily impacts people of African descent. That's about 2 million people in the United States have the sickle cell trait. And about 100,000 people have sickle cell anemia, which is the worst, sort of the worst form of sickle cell. It's the kind Prodigy had. It's where you're red blood cells sickle and they get kind of basically blocked in your veins and your arteries, which sort of prohibits the flow of oxygen. It can be excruciating. We have tape of Prodigy talking about all these different stories of experiencing unbelievable pain, like his bones are burning is the way he's described it. It can really, really take you out and it can like occur anywhere in the body. And also like there are people who have it for sure, sickle cell anemia, who don't experience it necessarily as painfully as Prodigy did. Because it's also important to remember that when Prodigy was becoming successful, he was also living like a rock star. When Mobb Deep started to really become successful in the mid-90s, they were traveling a lot, of course, and going all over the world. And Prodigy has these sort of infinite number of stories about how they would land, say, in Paris or in New Delhi, and he would immediately have to go to the hospital because flying can aggravate sickle cell. He'd have to go to the hospital. They'd have to cancel shows. His partner, Havoc, would have to go on by himself. Those kinds of things were really kind of really affecting the music in a way that I certainly didn't know.
When Prodigy was diagnosed with sickle cell, what did we know about the disease then, and how has that evolved to where we are today?
Well, so Prodigy was diagnosed in 75. He was about 5 months old. This was just a few years after what was called the Sickle Cell Anemia Control Act was passed. This was in 1972 in the Nixon administration. This disease had been diagnosed about I don't know, 50 years earlier, 50 or 60 years earlier, had been sort of identified. But just in the few years before he's born, there's a major shift in care for two main reasons. One, it's the Sickle Cell Control Act, but it's also because just about, you know, a couple decades earlier, penicillin antibiotics get introduced into the United States. But then things get interesting because they're living longer, but there's no real infrastructure to take care of teenagers and then adults and then older men and women who have the disease. That's kind of being built as they're getting older. A lot of people live with the disease, right? And so the main treatment tends to be pain management. And so it's often kind of opioids and the like. And for Prodigy, that was primarily what he was taking from the time that he was a child.
And you mentioned this earlier about the treatment that he was able to get, but also the obstacles that he faced in getting some of that treatment. And I want to play a clip from him talking about that briefly.
But I think it also has to do with race sometimes. You know, if a black person is coming in asking for pain medicine, they identify that with drug abuse, like a drug addict. You know what I mean? I've had terrible emergency room experiences when I was a little kid. Like, they would lock me in the back room and threaten to call the cops if I ain't shut up, like stuff like that.
So, Christopher, that's pretty awful. And we know that these health disparities continue today. What can you tell us about his experience, Prodigy's experience, in trying to get adequate treatment for this sickle cell?
His experience, and I also interviewed his brother, who's 13 years older, and his brother also described taking Prodigy, he wasn't Prodigy back then, but taking him to the hospital and seeing medical staff not quite know what to do, or not when he's older and he's an older black man covered in tattoos, right? Who's been treated a certain way at that point for 20 years, 20 some odd years, and not just by the healthcare system, but by America, right? He walks into a hospital or to an ER, and yeah, he might be a little bit aggressive. And so his experience often, it was rough. And it's important to kind of keep that in mind, because again, we're talking about a guy who people know who he is. They know that he's a celebrity. He was a big deal in the 90s. So this is a guy who has access, he has resources, he has connections, and still he's going through having to fight for what he deserves, which is good medical care.
Fascinating stuff. That was Christopher Johnson, co-host of the new podcast called The Realness here at WNYC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tanzina.